Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. I'm Paul Zeiss. It is the Paul Zeiss Show. Let's see. For all the latest news on coronavirus, turn to News Radio 1020 KDKA. You can find KDK Radio at AM 1020, 93.7 HD2, or tell your smart speaker to play News Radio 1020 KDKA. Also, 93.7 The Fan is doing our part to help Pittsburgh stay connected. Go to our radio.com app and... Go to our radio.com and get ideas to help you during this stay-at-home time. Just go to radio.com/stay connected. So the NFL came out with the all-decade team for 2010 to 2020. There are some, I think, no-brainer picks. Brady is obviously the quarterback, and he should be. I do not agree that Aaron Rodgers is the other quarterback. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something here. I think that guy is maybe the most overrated player we've ever had in the NFL, Aaron Rodgers. I know people love him and this and that and the other thing. You know what I see Aaron Rodgers' teams seem to do? It's really, really, really would. It's really, really ridiculous. When it comes to him, I every time I watch him play, his teams lose in the playoffs. And that's the thing. I mean, the bottom line is, when it comes down to it, I actually would still probably have put Peyton Manning on the thing. You know, I know he retired, what, in 17 or 18, but it doesn't matter to me. To me, you know, he played in two Super Bowls, actually three Super Bowls. I think he played in 11 and then, you know, the two with Denver. He won one of them. That's three AFC title games. You know, to me, I mean, you got to look at what he did and say, I think I would put him over Rodgers. I know why people love Rodgers. I do. Because he seems to have all this natural talent and runs around and makes some big-time plays, and there have been some games where he's been just fantastic at, you know, give me a break, will you please? Peyton Manning's last year was 2015. So I guess if you want to argue that he only played five, you know, and he actually only played four because he missed. But I don't know, man. I have a hard time giving Aaron Rodgers, you know, the other guy you look at is Drew Brees. And that's, to me, what it comes down to. I'm just not a big Aaron Rodgers guy. I never have been. But anyway, I think one of the things that's really amazing and sort of kind of tells you what we really have been watching the last 10 years around here. There are only two Steelers on this thing. That's it. I mean, there were some decades, the 70s, even the 90s, even from 2000. Think about from 2000 to 2010, some of the guys that we had on those teams there. But there are only two guys, two Steelers, that made this thing. And that's incredible to me, especially since they took four offensive tackles and four offensive guards. I figured the Steelers would have one guy fall in there. But there's only two Steelers. One of them is very obvious, and that is Antonio Brown. And whatever you feel about Antonio Brown, however you feel about him, whatever you think about him as a person, whatever you think about the way he left Pittsburgh, whatever you think about everything that has to do with Antonio Brown, there's not a lot of people that are big fans of his, obviously, in this town, for obvious reasons. Whatever you think about him, he absolutely needs to be on this team. I could make the case that he probably was the best receiver from 2010 to 2020. I could also make a case he might be one of the five or six best receivers of all time. And it's funny, there's a lot of people that say, oh, no way. Like, I heard one guy arguing the other day that, you know, that Antonio Brown couldn't tie John Stallworth's shoes. And my thing with that is, don't say stupid things, okay? Antonio Brown, what he did was pretty spectacular. And I think that when you watch the guy play, he did a lot of things and made a lot of catches that he's about the only guy in the league that could have made them. Maybe Julio Jones, but for the most part, if you look at Antonio Brown and what he's done and all that and what he accomplished, he absolutely deserves to be on there. And I think that's, you know, one of those things where I feel like people here are you know, they just want to try and downplay what he did. But I'm going to tell you, the guy's special. Now, he's a numbskull. But I didn't see anything in this criteria that said, you know, it's not like the NFL where there's a morality clause. I mean, so to me, I mean, there's no question that Antonio Brown needs to be on this team. And I think that when we get further away from the Antonio Brown era, when we get further away from where he was at and who he is and everything else, you know what? I really think that we're going to look on him more fondly and look on his career more fondly and probably be able to just, you know, basically say he's a guy that deserves all the recognition he got. Right now, there's a lot of people in this town that can't. I mean, I can be really objective. I was never a fan of Antonio Brown, the person. I was never a fan of dealing with him. I was never a fan of his antics. I was never a fan of all the stuff that he did and all the different ways he put, you know, Steelers through things. But I was always able to, and I'm always able to, separate that from his talent. And his talent is unquestioned. There's no question about it. The other Steeler, Marquise Pouncey. There was two centers on the team, Alex Mack and then Marquise Pouncey. Listen, I am not an expert on center play. I'm not an expert on offensive line play. So I just, you know, I'll defer to people that know what they're looking at. They all think and they all say Pouncey's really, really good. And in fact, Ben Roethlisberger has said, he won't play. If Pouncey retires, Ben retires. He's not going to play with any other center. So he swears by him and all that stuff. I think that when you look at it, those two guys, but it's really telling, isn't it, though? It's really, really telling that the Steelers only have two on this team. When would they have, you know, like if you look at some of the other decades, man, they'd have five, six, seven. They only got two. That tells you everything you need to know. And that's the thing that has been depressing. And that's going to be, to me, what when we talk about the legacy of Roethlisberger and even Mike Tomlin, if it doesn't, you know, if it doesn't change, say they don't win another Super Bowl, then all of a sudden, you know, it's one of those things, you know, where, are we going to talk about the first 6 or 7 years? Or are we going to talk about the last 8 years or 9 years or 10 years? That's something that you really need to think about. And that's the thing with Ben. Ben was unbelievable when it came to, the first, couple of years. And then something weird happened. His numbers started to get better, but the Steelers started winning less. Well, that's not a coincidence, by the way. We've talked about this a lot, and it's why I say a bunch. I've said it a bunch, and I'll continue to say it a bunch. You have to, the Steelers have to find a way to run the football with some degree of competence, because if they can't, they're going to have another year where they miss the playoffs or come close to missing the playoffs. They might not miss it now because they added more teams to the playoffs, but if they can't run the ball, they're going to struggle. And that's the bottom line. They need to. Ben has never been a guy that when you just leave it up to him to carry the team, he doesn't do it. And so to me, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, because most of the damage that he did was from 2000 to 2010. And this last decade, and it's the same thing with Mike Tomlin, nobody wants to have the conversation because everybody gets all triggered about things like this. But Mike Tomlin in the last 10 years has won 3 playoff games. Think about that. I'll put it in even more perspective. In the last, since from 2011 on, three playoff games, they've missed the playoffs 4 times. So he's missed the playoffs more than he's won playoff games. Again, I'm not sitting here telling you Mike Tomlin's a bad coach or not a good coach or any of that stuff. I'm just simply saying, when you look at it in the grand scheme of things, the last decade has not been what the Steelers have been used to. And so, if you think about it, that's one of those, that's why you only have two people on the all-decade team. And it's pretty funny, too. I've had some of the Ben fanboys all upset at me over the course of time because I've made this point. The last 10 years, right? The Steelers, because everybody says, well, as soon as Ben retires, this is going to be it. They're never going to win another game again. The Steelers might as well go. They might as well fold the damn franchise, to hear some people talk. But here's the thing. The 10 years before Ben took over, so it would have been like 92-ish to 2003, somewhere in that, whatever that 10-year span was, the Steelers were better than they have been the last 10 years from 2018, we won't even count this year because Ben didn't play, from 2018 to 2008, say. Those 10 years were not as good as the 10 years before Ben got here. That's fact. You don't got to like it, but that's fact. And again, that's reflected in the fact that the Steelers have 2 guys on the all-decade team. 412-928-9370 is the number. It's the Paul Zeiss Show. If you want to get in on the conversation, give me a call. Tonight, low of 47. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, high of 66. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. Sun's service department is open for all your automotive needs. With pickup and drop-off available, go to sunchevy.com for details. Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. I'm Paul Zeiss. It's the Paul Zeiss Show. You can follow us on Twitter at You can follow us on Twitter, driven by Jim Shorkey. Kia, let's try this again. Follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan, driven by Jim Shorkey. Kia, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. Shop all three locations at ShorkeyKia.com. Also, the Fan Hotline is brought to you by workers' compensation law firm of Hall & Capitas. So we were talking a little bit about the all-decade team, and I think that really what it comes down to me, the Steelers just haven't been as good as they used, you know, as we're used to. And I think, you know, the thing about it is it will come one of these things where I guess I could make a case, and I'm not sure, you know, why he didn't make it. I think you could make a case for Le'Veon Bell. Now, I know that he was hurt, and I know that he was, you know, a guy that missed a number of seasons, but he also did some things that we haven't seen running backs do. And I think that's, you know, maybe this last year with the Jets really hurt him and the fact that he sat out a year. But, man, when he played his 4 or 5 years when he played, if you look at his numbers, he was pretty ridiculously productive. He was really pretty ridiculously productive. Really. And I think that, you know, that's the thing. 77 games averaged, 4.2 yards per carry. If you add, he averaged 80 yards rushing, and where are we at here? Receiving, so he had 3,100 yards receiving, so it's 40. So he had 40, so he averaged 121, between rushing and receiving, he averaged 121 yards a game. You know, if you look at what he did touchdown-wise, he had 38 rushing touchdowns and 8 receiving. That's 46. You know, I guess the argument against him is he only played 5 seasons, really, 6 seasons. And one of them was at the Jets, and they were really awful. But his 5 seasons with the Steelers, man, I don't know. I have a hard time. It's just, I'd have a hard time putting him on, I guess. But it's one of those things that comes from all of this, it comes with all the territory, and that is, he's probably a guy who they didn't give the benefit of the doubt to. You look at the running backs, Frank Gore, Marshawn Lynch, LeSean McCoy, Adrian Peterson. I guess it's hard to argue any of those four guys. You know, I'll read it off real quick. The receivers are AB, Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson, and Julio Jones. They added a flex position, I guess, just so they could put Darren Sproles on the team. I don't know if we need Darren Sproles on the team. I mean, he's a nice little player, but tight ends, obviously, are Gronkowski and Kelce. Kelce, I don't know that anyone could argue that. No, you know, a bunch of linemen, big-name linemen like Joe Thomas and Jason Peters and a bunch of the guys. Defensively, Calais Campbell, Cameron Jordan, Julius Peppers, and J.J. Watt are the defensive ends. Aaron Donald and Dominican Sue, Fletcher Cox, and Geno Atkins. Now, the thing about Peppers, I guess he did play a number of – I thought he retired. I thought he – maybe – I got to look to see Peppers, but I thought – for some reason, I thought he retired. It seemed like he's – that guy's been playing forever if he's still playing. I don't think he is he? So, Julius Peppers, well, his last year was 2018. Okay, his last year was 2018, so he did play most of the decade. You know, he was probably at his best. He probably was at his best from about 2005 to, say, 2013 or 14. That was probably his best. I mean, you know, his last few years he was somewhat productive, but not nearly as productive as he needs to be. He needed to be, but again, he was old and sort of at the end of the line. The other interesting thing from this team, Well, let me give you the defensive tackles. I'm sorry, the linebackers are Chandler Jones, Luke Kuechly, Khalil Mack, Vaughn Miller, Bobby Wagner, Patrick Willis. Corners are Patrick Peterson, Darrell Revis, Richard Sherman. That's a pretty, really good threesome right there. But I don't know why they only have three corners on this team. Safeties, Earl Thomas, Eric Weddle, Eric Berry. Why do they only have three corners and three safeties? That's a little strange. I would think they'd have four of each. And the corners, to me, you know, if you look at, I got to look at the corners. Patrick Peterson, let me just look at something with him. If there was one guy, I would say from the Steelers, well, he wasn't with the Steelers the whole entire time, but, you know, Joe Hayden probably has a good case to be on this team. Now, I guess Patrick Peterson started in 2011, so he played pretty much the whole decade, too. Like I said, I'm looking at this team, and a lot of times there's a lot of different things, a lot of different people you can argue with. I'm having a hard time coming up with many Steelers that I could make an argument for. You know, I obviously don't think Ben has an argument at quarterback. You might be able to make an argument for Le'Veon Bell, but the problem is his last year he stunk. He sat out a year, and he was hurt three or four times in his 5 years here. Now, when he played, he was as good as anybody out there. The problem is he didn't play enough, probably, to warrant being on this team. Obviously, Antonio Brown is on the team, and he should be. You know, if you look at the Steelers, I mean, I don't know. I'd have to look at his numbers, but maybe Emmanuel Sanders. But, you know, most of his damage was done with the Broncos anyway. Tight ends, the Steelers, I would say probably, you know, Heath Miller was at the end of the line, and they've tried to find tight ends for the last 5 or 6 years, you know. Ramon Foster, maybe you want to tell me he should be on, as one of the guards. I don't know enough about line play, but again, I'm looking at all of these things, and I'm saying, you know, I can't argue that Steelers should be on this team instead of some other guys. It's incredible. I think that's amazing to me. If you think about it, almost always we can sit here and argue about it. And it's just one of those things that when you look at it from the standpoint of what the Steelers actually accomplished and what individually they did as players, it's hard to come up with other guys that should be on here. I mean, linebackers, you know, they've had a lot of guys on that played outside linebacker, James Harrison, but again, a lot of his damage was done before 2010. You know, that's about it, really. They've had some guys. I mean, obviously, T.J. Watt's only played a few years. I mean, I don't see a lot of cases for Steelers to be on this team. I really don't. The two coaches, by the way, are Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll. So, the most of any team was the Patriots, who have eight players. Of course, one of the players they count is Antonio Brown, which is silly, but they had basically seven players. You know, they obviously had Brady and a bunch of other guys. So, I mean, I think if you look at it, this is a real interesting list because it tells you everything you need to know about the Steelers and what they've been since 2010. And it's not been really all that exciting, and it's not been really all that pretty. And, you know, if you look at it, Mike Tomlin, to me, you know, he's the guy that doesn't deserve to be on it. He didn't win anything. He didn't win anything. There's a lot of coaches that have a better case from 2010 till now. Mike Tomlin didn't win anything. So if you look at it, that would be the all-decade team. Now, here's the other amazing thing about the all-decade team. Pitt has four players on this team. And we've talked about it a bunch, that it's amazing when you look at the NFL talent that Pitt has had, that they've sort of just floundered around for so long. But there was a point, at one point, where you could have made an argument, and it would have been a reasonable argument, but you could have made an argument that Pitt had the four players who were the best players in the NFL, actually five players who were the best players in the NFL at their position, when these guys were all rolling. And you say, no way, there's no way. Okay, this was probably, it would have to be about 6 years ago, 7 years ago, when they were all really rolling. There was a point where LeSean McCoy might have been the best running back in the league. Darrelle Revis was probably the best cornerback in the league. Larry Fitzgerald was the best receiver in the league. Aaron Donald was the best defensive lineman in the league. And Andy Lee was the best punter. They might have had five guys who were the, now they all didn't play together, but they might have had five guys at one time who were the best players at their position. And of course, Andy Lee's retired, but I mean, the other guys are all on the all-decade team, and they all should be. LeSean McCoy, you know, he started to slow down, obviously, but he was really, really good. Revis, I mean, the guy, they called him Revis Island. He was obviously that good of a player. He was a cover corner. He took away half the field, and, you know, he was tough to deal with. Larry Fitzgerald has been, you know, first of all, Larry Fitzgerald from day one may have had the best set of hands I've ever seen on a receiver. And, you know, there was a long stretch there where he was unbelievable. You know, the other day I was watching that Steelers, Cardinals Super Bowl. And honestly, if, you know, the Steelers on that last drive had like a 3rd and 15 or something, if they don't convert there and they don't convert on 4th down, the game's over and the Arizona wins, I don't think there's any question that Larry Fitzgerald is the MVP of that game. I don't think there's any question. That's just honest. Honestly, I think he's the MVP of that game. And, you know, they probably would have given it to Kurt Warner. But to me, the MVP of that game was Larry Fitzgerald if they would have won. Now, they didn't win. Obviously, the Steelers went down the field and, you know, scored, you know, the great throw to, who was it? Santonio Holmes was in a corner of the end zone. But I was watching the game thinking to myself, and I think I was watching it live thinking the same thing. Larry Fitzgerald's going to be the MVP of the Super Bowl. And it just, I mean, obviously it didn't happen because they lost. And in general, you got to win the game in order to be the MVP. But, there have been times. Anyway. It is the Paul Zeiss Show. 412-928-9370 is the number if you want to talk about this all-decade team and who you think might should have been on it. We can do that next. It is we'll do that next. It is the Paul Zeiss Show on 93.7 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.